The one this morning. Glad you're here. I'd like to welcome those that are online. Appreciate those that have come online. In just a moment, we're going to begin our worship with singing. And I'd like to open our service with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for so many blessings. We pray for this day. We pray for this service, that you may be honored and your word taught. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first hymn is 730. We declare that the kingdom of God is next hymn is 290, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you have reigned. Shine on me,
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing 422, Spirit of the Living God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day and this opportunity to, we can gather ourselves together and worship Thee and sing praises to Thee, and for the classes that we have where we can study and become more acquainted with Thy Word. We pray that we bring that Word into our hearts and then take it out into our everyday lives throughout the remainder of this week. Heavenly Father, we pray now for those that have physical difficulties in their lives, whether it's recovering from surgeries or preparing their minds for surgeries or sicknesses and things that are troubling them physically. We pray that it be your will that they receive the health that they desire. Also, Heavenly Father, we know there are those that are among us or those that are not here that are having emotional and spiritual trouble at this time. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they can get through these difficulties and rely upon your word and your comfort to get through these difficult times. Be with Heavenly Father, the church here. Be with us the remainder of the service. We pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and done this morning is done in accordance with Thy will. Watch over us, Heavenly Father, and bless us and forgive us of our sins. And it's Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to mark the invitation hymn, it is 927. And then before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing 227 on Zion's glorious summit. If it's convenient for you, would you stand again, please, as we sing?
On Zion's glorious summit, I heard the song and so to joy.
For the scripture reading, children's training class, so those that are taking their young children to class, you can go ahead and leave the auditorium now. Scripture reading today from the ESV is Isaiah 6, 8 through 11. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of the people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitants and the houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste."
I love that song that we just sang on Zion's glorious summit. What a beautiful song. And can you imagine actually singing that in the presence of God Almighty? But wait, we just did. We just sang it in the presence of God. And though he's not visible to our eyes, by faith we know that we are in the presence of God when we come to worship him. And should that make a difference in the way we sing, the way we pray, the way we partake of the Lord's Supper and on, whatever we do? Of course, we do it with all of our might, with all of our heart, because this is God we're worshiping. What a privilege, what a great blessing it is to come together like this as a family in Christ and to lift up our hearts together to praise God. We're so glad you're with us today. We have a good number, even though it is traveling season. It looks like a lot of you have come back home, and we're glad for that. But others are out, we know, and maybe they'll come back before long. But you're here, and we're thankful for that. And we have those online with us today as well, and we're glad that you are with us as well. Seems like every week I hear from somebody that is worshiping with us online due to physical illness or other things that prevent them from being with us, but we're just so glad we have this opportunity to worship together. And if you're visiting with us, and I know we have several visiting with us this morning, know that you are welcome, and we want to meet you. We want to personally greet you, and if there's anything that we can do to help you, we'd love to know that and do whatever it is that we're able to do. So glad you're here. Before you leave today, make sure you say hello to somebody that you don't know and say, "It's good to get to know you a little better," because we are family. We're here to show our love for each other. We're here to smile at each other and help people know this is why we come together, to praise God and to be uplifted by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We'll meet then to worship God again. And tonight we're going to raise a question. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but why did Christ choose Saul of Tarsus? What was it about Saul of Tarsus that made him a chosen instrument of Christ? And that's the words that Christ uses when he talks to Ananias. He is a chosen instrument of mine. What was it about Saul of Tarsus? Everything you would see before that would say, not this guy. But Christ chose him. Why? And I think that makes an interesting study. I really hope you'll come out and join us for that. And there's a lot we can learn from the Word of God. So make time to learn from God's Word, and we'll all be better people because of it. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God and study things that will help us grow. And I hope you'll follow along with me. I'm going to try to give you time at every passage I'm going to read. Before I start reading, I want you to get there as well and read from your Bible, your tablet, your phone, whatever it is you're using. And that way we help each other know this is the Word of God. That's what we're looking at. And it is that important. Now, you know, of course, there are new companies that come along all the time. Maybe it is a restaurant, maybe it is some kind of a gift shop or whatever it may be. New car manufacturers are appearing with the advent of electronic vehicles. And yet I think you know that most all of these don't start up until they've done a good bit of market research. If they're going to succeed, that's probably a must. You've got to make sure that you understand what the consumer wants and how much they're willing to pay for it, and things like that. Otherwise, without that market research, you may not be in business very long because you've missed what the customer really wants. Well, there are those people that think, well, that's the way the church should operate as well. The church should do market research and find out, well, what is it that people want when they're looking for a church? And then let's make the changes, let's adapt ourselves, and therefore, you know, they may want to come. And there are many churches that have bought into that model, that have said, we're going to do what the people want us to do, we're going to say what the people want us to say, and they have pretty big churches, some of them. But is that a valid approach? Is that how we should do the Lord's church? It's not our church, after all. It is the church of Christ, the Lord's church. And if he died for it, if he built it himself, who are we to make changes? That's the question we're going to look at, because every Sunday, however often a preacher or a teacher gets up before people that come, we've got to ask the question, what shall I preach? And that's one of the hard parts about preaching, let me tell you. Week after week, what shall I preach? And that's the question this morning. What do they want me to say? Is that the way I approach it? Or is there a better way? Let's see what the Word of God says. Open your Bible. Let's get into that. First of all, let's talk about preaching to please the crowd. Preaching to please the crowd. Now, again, talking about businesses generally, have you noticed there's a lot of changes with restaurants? And I'm talking about restaurants that have been in business for decades. Their TV commercials will show some new special this month, and it was different from last month, and you can bet next month it's going to be something entirely different. And hey, if this restaurant has really gotten on the map because they make chicken sandwiches, not going to mention any names, it looks like every restaurant now is going to start offering chicken sandwiches. Have you noticed that? And all that is responding to consumer demand. Now again, is that the way the church ought to be? Because people do change as a nation, as a society, as a culture, and what people used to enjoy may not be what they enjoy now. So let's put our finger in the air and detect which way the wind is blowing before we decide, what am I going to preach? Well, the Bible says, people often don't want what they need. Have you noticed that in the Word of God? People often don't want what they really need. And what we all really need is the Word of God. I mean, let's go back to the passage that was read to us a few moments ago in Isaiah chapter 6. John read that for us. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 in a moment. But here was Isaiah in the very presence of God. I mean, it was an awesome situation, and he recognized his own uncleanness, and yet God took care of that. He put a coal on his tongue. He cleansed his lips that were defiled. And now he hears this invitation, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, well, here I am. Why don't you send me? I mean, that is exciting to know that the God of the universe is going to use me to do something he needs done. And yet, listen to what it says there again in verses 9 and 10. Here's what God wanted Isaiah to say. He said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Now, at first you say, wait a minute, is God telling Isaiah to deliberately blind them? No, that's not what God is saying. God is saying, here's what you're going to see happen when you preach my word. People are going to say, in effect, I don't want to hear that. That's not what I want to hear. And so I'm just going to tune you out, act like I'm listening, but I'm not really. And as a result, they're going to suffer serious consequences because what they needed to hear is not what they wanted to hear, and therefore they didn't hear it. And so Isaiah was told, this is the job you've got. You're going to be preaching to people that don't want to hear your message. Does that sound exciting? No, it doesn't at all. And yet Isaiah was a faithful servant of God, and he preached the message just as God told him. Go to Micah now, Micah chapter 2. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. They preached at about the same time. And again, the situation is very much the same for Micah. Here's what we find in Micah chapter 2. First of all, in verse 6, and this is the reaction of the people that are listening to Micah prophesy. Do not preach. This is what they're telling Micah. Do not preach. And then it's noted, thus they preach. They don't want to hear preaching, so they're going to preach at you not to preach. Do not preach, they say. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. And again, it's the same idea. You're telling us that bad things are going to happen? No, they're not. We know everything is okay. Don't talk about such things. Well, then what will I preach about to make you happy? Go down to verse 11. Here's what they would enjoy, it says in verse 11. If a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be the preacher for this people. Now think about that. There are some things people really flock to hear. And this was an example. I'm going to talk to you today about how to make the best mixed drinks you could ever imagine. And I hope none of you would ever show up to a lesson like that, because that's not something I'm ever going to preach on anyway. But he's saying, if you did that, they would love that. But that's not what they need to hear. They need to hear the truth. And so God, again, is telling Micah, you're going to be preaching to them. They're not going to be listening, but preach anyway, because they need to hear it. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Here we are listening to a man named Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. That's how we normally identify him. He was appointed to the task of serving the widows, we're told earlier in Acts. He was a great man, full of the Spirit, we're told. And now he's being taken the task for preaching about Christ. And here's one of the things he says in that talk to the people on that day. He says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? He's talking to the Sanhedrin now, the Supreme Court of Israel, you might say. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. So guess what? You're just like your fathers. They didn't want to hear the prophets. They persecuted them because of it. And now you've done the very same thing to the Son of God. People don't want to hear the truth often. Now that's not always true, because you're here, and I trust you're here because you want to hear the truth. But many times people will come and say, well, I don't really like that message. I'd rather hear something else. But if it's God's word. Well, let's look at one other passage here. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Because, again, this shows there are some people you're not ever going to please. They will never be pleased by hearing the truth, because John 1:14 says the word of God that came, and he identifies him in this verse as Jesus. Listen to what he says. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so everybody loved him. Everybody said, that's what we want to hear. That's not what happened. Have you read in the Bible where Jesus was condemned and died as a common criminal? That was the reaction of many in that day. Not everybody, but many said, we don't want to hear that, Jesus. That's not what we wanted to hear. It's not what we expected to hear. And even though you're telling us it's the word of God, stop preaching it. But he didn't. And he died on the cross as a result. Jeremiah chapter 6, again, underscores this problem that has existed since man began. Jeremiah chapter 6, and this is what we've got to fight. I mean, every one of us have to fight this lesson, this principle that goes on. Because sometimes we want to hear what the Bible says, sometimes we don't. But does that mean we shouldn't listen to it if we don't want to hear it? No, it means we listen anyway. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 6, beginning in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. This is a good way to go. But they said, we will not walk in it. Verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, verse 18, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, because I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. So they rejected it, they paid no attention, because it was not what they wanted to hear. But they don't have freedom to choose the consequences. You can choose whether to listen to the word of God or not. That is your choice. But you're not free to choose whether to accept the consequences or not. That's in God's will. And so it's always best to listen to the truth. And when it is my turn to get up and speak and say, well, what am I going to preach? May I preach the word of God? And by the way, this is not just a lesson for preachers. I hope you realize that. It is a lesson for every Christian. Because if somebody begins preaching what you want to hear instead of the word of God, that's when you say, wait a minute. We need to hear God's word. You preach to us God's word and don't empower those who would preach something else. Now let's look at a second idea now. Now that we know that we can't please the crowd, and that is, what then shall I preach? If I can't please everybody, then what am I going to preach? Well, again, suppose I'm starting a new restaurant. Should I pay attention to what customers don't want and then not offer that on my menu? Let's say that I say, I'm going to make this a restaurant all about frog legs. And there will be a few that will say, oh yeah, that's my place. But I suspect the vast majority in this area would not go there. And so maybe if my market research says that's not what they want, then okay, I don't do that. Well, again, is that what I do when I get up to preach? I know they don't want to hear this, so I'm not going to preach that. That's not the way to go about the preacher's task, and it's not the way for a congregation to receive it. We need to preach what God has told us. Let's look at some divine guidance on preaching. Divine guidance on preaching. And we're going to start out where we should start out, with the example of Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Here we find Jesus being received very well, and the people want him to stay. You're so good. We want you to stay right here in our village. And Jesus said, no, I can't do that. Why? Listen to what he says in Luke 4, verse 43. He said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. I was sent for this purpose. Now, what was the purpose? To go to all the towns. That's part of it. But the big part of it is to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, the good news also can be uncomfortable. The good news isn't just a way of saying, okay, everybody's free of their sins now. You can go and enjoy life. Well, that's part of it. But the rest of the story is you don't ever go back to those sins. You give up those things that you once enjoyed doing. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to hear that. But that's good news. The good news of the kingdom of God, Jesus said, I'm going to preach that everywhere I go because that is the purpose for which I came. And that is the purpose that all of us have as we go about telling others about Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And now we find the early church is beginning to hit turbulence. There has been an uprising. The Jews are stirring up the crowds, and it's causing a great tumult. And now there's a fellow named Saul of Tarsus. We're going to talk more about him tonight. Saul has really become aggressive, saying, I'm going to get rid of this group of people called Christians. I'm going to drive them out. And in fact, many of them were driven from their homes. Imagine that. Driven from your home because you're a Christian. So what do you do? Well, listen to what they did. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And by implication, that means the word of God, the word of good news, the word of Jesus Christ, the truth as it had been revealed and as it has been revealed to us. And so the point is, they did not stop just because there had been pushback. Yeah, there was resistance to what they were saying. They were being driven from their homes. But anywhere they went, they kept on preaching the word. That did not change. People change, their tastes change. The message of the gospel does not. And then let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have to mention this passage because this really is a mandate for anybody that is going to tell anybody else about the will of God. Preachers, yes, but members as well. Any Christian who talks to their neighbor, their co-worker, or anybody about religion. Here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That was his charge. That's what you must do. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? Sometimes people want to hear it. Sometimes they don't. And you keep on preaching it regardless of the situation. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming. Has this time come? Let's listen. Has that time arrived today? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and will wander off into myths or fairy tales, you might say. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And you see, the idea is, you're not going to be fulfilling your ministry if you don't preach the word. You're not going to be doing the work of an evangelist if you don't preach the word, in season, out of season, even when people don't want to hear the truth, keep preaching the truth. And that was Paul's charge to Timothy on that occasion. Now let me ask you, has there been a shift in the thinking of American people on religious subjects in the last several years? And those of you that are up in my age category, you'll say, oh yes, there have been dramatic shifts in the way people look at religion. Concepts that we once, everybody believes that. Well, guess what? Everybody doesn't believe that now. And I won't go into detail on what those subjects are. They're so numerous, they're not hard to find. But the point is, there are constantly changing ideas about religion. Why is that? Is the Bible changing? Has the Word of God changed? Well, there are people that change the way they interpret it, maybe. But the Word is right there in black and white or on your screen or whatever it is. It is essentially the same as it was 2,000 years ago. The Word has not changed. People, yes, but not the Word. Preach the Word. And then also notice what Peter says on this question in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're looking at divine guidance on preaching. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verses 10 and the first part of verse 11. Peter begins by talking about every Christian. All of us are included in verse 10. Here's what he says. As each has received a gift. Peter said, every one of us have a gift. You can do some things I can't do. I can do a thing or two. You can't, maybe. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Whoever, and here's the first example he uses, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. There was a time when I looked at that as counsel for preachers. And it is. Preachers have to follow that particular mandate in verse 11. But guess what? It doesn't just apply to preachers. It applies to anyone who speaks to another person about their faith, about the way they view life, about religion and how it affects our lives. How do I do it? As one who speaks oracles of God. In other words, I give them what the Bible says. I say, well, you may look at it differently, and I may have different ideas, but here is what the Word of God says. And that should settle it for anybody that understands who God is. Here it is. This is His revealed will. And Peter says, don't give them your opinions. Don't talk about how you think it should be. Speak as one who speaks oracles of God. That's the way we approach it. Norman Hillier, in his comments on this passage, says, not everyone has the gift of preaching. But each believer who does have that God-given ability should always use it, bearing in mind the awesome responsibility that goes with it. He or she opens the mouth as one speaking the very words of God. And then he continued, and he said, the speaking referred to here covers any public pronouncements of Christian truth. All who claim to be speaking in the name of God should do so only if they are aware of having a divine commission. Have you ever been asked your opinion on this particular subject or that one and how the Bible speaks about it? And when you gave your opinion, did you frame it in the sense that, well, here's what God said. It doesn't really matter what I think about it or what you think about it. Here's what God said. That's all we need to know. And I think Hillier is right on that point. But you know, Jesus never said that preaching the gospel would lead to popularity and fame, because the whole Bible shows it often doesn't. Preaching the gospel sometimes brings about scorn and resistance and persecution. Is that in our future? It's becoming very easy to think, yes, that is in our future. And when it comes, when somebody says, no, you shouldn't say that, okay, I'll just be quiet. Is that a valid response? Is that accepting our commission to go and preach the gospel to all the world? James Russell Lowell, a great poet, wrote The Present Crisis in 1844. And in that writing, it's a fairly long poem, but this part is found, truth forever on the scaffold. Now, scaffold here has to be understood in the sense of a gallows. It's not that building, you know, a building's going up and you got scaffolding all around. Here, it's used in that sense. Truth, forever on the scaffold, as if it's about to be executed. Truth, forever on the scaffold. Wrong, forever on the throne. Yet, that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. I love that. It gives me courage. Because it says, though people around me may be saying, hang this person. They don't deserve to live because of what they're preaching. Yet there's God in the shadow, keeping watch above his own. He's the one I serve. And I love the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. To me, he wrote, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's not just something given to preachers. It's given to every follower of Christ to share the good news with others around us and to be strong, to be courageous, to be bold, and say, here's what the Word of God says. Your argument is not against me, it's with God. But you know what? There are some that will receive it. There are many, in fact, that are hungering for what is right. Will they hear it from us? Are you hungering for what is right? Are you ready to cast in your lot with the Lord? Then become his follower today. And that's a thing simply and easily done. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God so much that you're willing to turn away from sin, repenting of it, and confess him before others, no matter what others may say, then why not today put on Christ in baptism? Because that is his command, to be baptized in order to be saved. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or have you allowed the world to mold you in its own shape and form? You can come out of that mold today. You can pray for forgiveness for taking such an approach and ask the Lord today, transform me. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. Today I pray, Lord. And if you need that prayer offered, if you need encouragement in any way, come as we stand together and sing. We've had two to respond this morning for prayers. Seth has come and says he often deals with anxiety, and yesterday was an especially hard time. And he asked that we pray for him, that he can put his mind in the right place when those times come and not go down so deep into that. He's also concerned for Samuel, a young man that we've mentioned before who was in a serious accident several months ago and still having trouble recovering. And we want to pray for Samuel as he tries to recover all of his abilities. And then Jennifer asked us this morning to pray for a boy that they had in their house for a time. A foster child, I guess. Was he a foster child? And of course, it was a bad situation. He is now in a group home in another part of the country, and she has heard that he's not doing well at all. And she just aches for him and for many, many others. She knows that their two sons are having kind of a fairy tale life now that they've been adopted, but you know, we can't adopt all of them, we can't care for all of them, but she's very concerned for this particular child and for many others, and there are so many others. So let that be a burden on our hearts today and in days to come, all these children that don't have the homes that they need and the struggles they face. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we praise you. You are wonderful and gracious to us. You've not abandoned us, Father. You've opened your home to us and welcomed us in. And there is no limit to the number that you will receive. Thank you for Jesus who makes that possible and who gives us access to your throne of grace. And Father, we come today praying for Seth. Many of us can identify with him that he has those times when anxiety rules. And Father, we pray that you'll give him strength and realizations that will help him to manage those times and not be overcome by them. We also pray for Samuel, who is continuing his recovery from very serious injuries that he suffered last year. And Father, we pray that he might do well, that he might recover those abilities and be able to continue on the path of preparing for a very good future. And Father, we want to pray for this child that Jennifer has brought before us this morning. He's not with us here, but he's in another place, and he is not doing well, she has heard. And Father, we pray for this child, that someone will be aware of his needs, and that they will respond in the appropriate way and do whatever is necessary to help him find grounding and stability. And Father, there are so many other children out there who don't have parents that are watching after them, who have somewhat been abandoned or perhaps have been kidnapped and put into trafficking operations. Lord, we wish we could do more, and maybe we can do. And if we can, Lord, open our eyes. But bless these children, Father. Like the four who were found in the Amazon recently after 40 days alone, help all of these that are wandering through the jungles of life to be found and to be safe. Lord, we put ourselves in your hands, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 287, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, Son of God. Precious Lamb of God, to slay us, oh, holy one.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I want to touch on one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, where concerning the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day you've given us and the blessings that we have. Thank you for this bread, which represents your body. Pray that we'll partake of this in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. And it's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Moving on to verse 25, Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. I do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, the blessings that we have. Thank you for this cup, which represents your blood. Pray, dear God, that as we partake of this and we examine our own lives, that we do this in a way that's well-pleasing in your sight. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us also give thanks for the offering. Would you pray with me? Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come back to you again. We know we've been blessed. We know that we have so many things here in America, and specifically here where we live in Tennessee. And we know that they all come from you. All of our successes, all of the things that we have, they are yours. Dear God, as we consider what we might give back, pray that we'll do so with a cheerful heart, and that everything that we bring in as a church will be put to good use, furthering your works and your kingdom here on earth. And dear God, it's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we've had this morning to study and learn from your word. We pray that as we do this life's journey, that we may gather strength and learn your word and obey your will and spend eternity in heaven with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several announcements this morning, but we'll get through them. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the building. Today is the last day to return small boxes. If you have empty boxes at home, please bring them back and we will fill them for you. Thanks to all who have participated in this effort. We will be collecting gift cards from June 11th to July the 9th for Renzi Rice and Richard Bylan, who will be married on August 11th in Corvallis, Oregon. They are registered at Amazon and thenot.com. All ladies are invited to baby shower for Brandon and Maddie and baby girl Davis on June 18th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at the barn at Avondale Springs in Jonesboro. Brandon and Maddie are registered at Amazon. All ladies are invited to a baby shower for Tommy, Jordan, and baby girl here at June 25th at 4 to 5:30 in the downstairs fellowship area. Tommy and Jordan are registered at Amazon. There will be planning a meeting to gather ideas for decorating the Redemption Ranch theme VBS on Sunday, June 18th at 4:45 p.m. in the 5th and 6th grade classroom. See Catherine Albertson if you have anything you're willing to help or lend props. If you're a pen pal with someone who is incarcerated, please remember to occasionally check the counter at the main welcome center for letters that may have been received. Here are coming events at Central. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group today at 4 to 5:30 p.m. It's in the children's training room on Zoom. Dad's Prayer Breakfast on June 13th at Eggs Up Grill at 6:30 p.m. Retired Men's Breakfast, June 13th at 9 a.m. Please sign the list. Redbird's Luncheon, June 13th at Mad Greek at 11 a.m. Remember these in prayer. A Christian whose family often worshiped with us online is being tested for positive cancer. The person wishes to remain anonymous, but the Lord will know the one for whom it is praying. Andy Russell, cousin of Dennis Russell, is having shoulder surgery on June 15th. Andy worships with us online in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. He asked for prayers for the surgery and recovery to go well. And now the biggie. Tim Hall, please come to the front. There he is. Some of you may be surprised at this, but maybe not. Tim, on behalf of the congregation, we wish to extend our deep thank yous for your 40 years of service to this congregation. And we put it in writing. I'd like to present you with this plaque which acknowledges your service of 40 years. And there's a card. And now you have to make a speech.
I thought I just did, but well, thank you. This was not something that should have been done publicly, but I will say I am just thankful to God for the opportunity that I have had. The first sermon I preached over there on the other side, I said, I'm coming here to retire, little thinking that that might actually happen. I'm not retiring yet, I don't think, am I? But this is a gift from God to be with you. This is such a wonderful family. He's surrounded me with people that love his son and that are working for the same cause I'm working for. And I've got to say, too, that I couldn't do this without my wife, Joyce. I know most of you probably don't know her because she's not able to get out. but she is such a strong part of my ministry, and without her help, I could not do what I do. So this is from Joyce and me both. We thank you, we love you, and I don't think there'll be another 40 years, but we'll take whatever we can get. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're now dismissed.